You're listening to Leading and Learning. This is the place where we talk about practical leadership, theology, fitness, how to create winning habits, and so much more. My name's David Spell, and I'm a retired police officer, a pastor, a New Testament scholar, and a leadership coach. My goal on Leading and Learning is to help you live your best life. Thanks so much for joining us today. Welcome back to Leading and Learning. This is episode number 444, Building a Team That Will Build Your Church. We talked last week about how there's such a need really all over the world. Every time I travel and go to a church, there's pastors are talking about, man, I need more leaders. I need more leaders. And it all comes down to the pastor and his team creating more leaders. And that's just kind of really the bottom line is, are we willing to invest? Are we willing to do the work? Are we willing to invest and create the leaders that we need? Because the fact of the matter is, our churches aren't going to grow without great leaders. We've got to have a system in place. You know, we pray for revival. We pray for increase, which are good things to pray for. But more and more, I'm seeing the fact that if God were to answer our prayer and we don't have the leaders to receive those folks, if we don't have the team, the systems in place to receive the increase, then it's just not going to last. And I don't believe that honors God. So let's build a team that's going to build your church. Last week, we talked about identifying potential team members, the fact that we need to be talent scouts, always looking for, we might say, diamonds in the rough, looking for people coming in who might be able to serve in our particular areas. And we're always looking, our eyes are always open, and we're not looking for fully completed leaders. We're not looking for the finished projects, although those are great. But I find that folks that come in that have already got lots of experience sometimes come with an agenda as well. And so there's a time and a place for that, for people to come that have experience, as long as they're willing to be humble and understand that we may not do it like they did in their other church. You know, that's great. But I also think it's wonderful when we can create and build and equip and train leaders and raise them up from within. So last week we talked about identifying potential team members, being the talent scout. I encourage you to go back and listen to that episode if you haven't heard it. And today we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of getting them on our team, getting them from someone who's just sitting in our church to getting to a place where they're serving on one of our teams as a volunteer. And then ultimately, if they're that person who we see leadership potential, and realize this, everybody's not a leader. But if we see leadership on them, if that's a possibility, then we want to get them from just sitting in a chair, sitting in a pew, to serving on a team, and then ultimately leading as well. So first thing, number one, how do we get them on the team? Well, it starts with our people skills. The very first thing I would say is you've got to learn people's names. This is one of the greatest skills for any leader to have. It's not easy. It's one of those things that takes being very intentional about learning people's names. But if you want to ask somebody to serve with you, if you want to ask somebody to volunteer, if you want to take somebody on a journey, the very first step is learning their name and starting to build some kind of a relationship with that person. There was a TV show on years ago, a sitcom called Cheers, and it was about a bar, and the little tagline for the bar was, "Where everybody knows your name." And I thought, sadly, most churches aren't like that. Bars are, you know, some bars you go in and, "Hey, man, good to see you." But, you know, church should be the same way. People in that church should be learning other people's names, and especially visitors and new people. Several years ago, we had a couple visit our church. First time there, I met them other people in church met them, and we get a lot of visitors every week. But you know, this was a particular couple that I met, made the time to have a little chat with them, and got their names. And I've got a little list in my phone. This is how I cheat. I've got a little list in my phone. When I meet new people, I write down their names. I type them into the note, and maybe one or two, three things about them. That way, when I see them again, I'm not starting blind. And so I met this couple, and we, you know, chatted a little bit, had a nice conversation. They were in the process of looking for a church. They were looking around. And so, you know, they had some questions, and I had some answers, and we chatted for a while, and then they were on their way, and I didn't see them again for a few weeks. And I thought, okay, no problem. They probably found another church. That's great. But maybe a month later, they came back to church to try us out again. And I spoke to them by name, and I watched both of their eyes get big with surprise. Another person in our church who's part of our hospital, she runs our hospitality team, and she recognized them, and she also had remembered their names, and she spoke to them by name. And I remember the husband leaning over, and he said it loud enough where I could hear it. He said, "Babe, this is the church for us. We've only been here one time. We haven't been in a month, and these people already know our names." It really made an impact on him. And this couple came. They joined the church. They served. They both ended up serving in different areas and were just an amazing part of our family for several years until circumstances took them somewhere else. So there's something powerful in learning people's names. Number two. We want to get this person on our team. Well, we have to focus beyond just getting them on our team. As I said, we want to build a relationship with them, and we also want to focus on discipleship. Listen, the core value of every church should be to make disciples. Jesus, his last command was go into all the world and make disciples. And so I think not only are we wanting to develop people to serve as volunteers in the different roles on the different teams that you have, we want to develop leaders and really see these folks become leaders in their own right, but we also want to create disciples. And so that's part of what we're doing is the teams that we're leading, we should be thinking of as those that we're taking on the journey deeper into their spiritual walk, deeper into their faith. And let me tell you, it can be challenging. I've had people on my teams that, you know, really just are kind of very complacent, very happy just to do, you know, the minimum. But that doesn't mean we're not always challenging them. We're always wanting to help people. At our church, we say everybody's got a next step. We always want to get people and help people take that next step in their life and in their faith. So pastor your people. Help them to grow. And then number three, when you're talking to somebody, when you want to get them on your team, the worst thing in the world to do is go, "Hey, listen, I need some help on the parking lot team. You think you might be interested in doing that?" Well, that's not a very nice ask. "Hey, listen, you know, we need help in the kids. How about coming and serving in kids with me?" Whatever it might be, whatever teams your church has, it's not about just coming up and saying, "Hey, listen, can you help me with this task?" Listen, we want to cast a vision. And we're not, you know, BSing people. We're telling them the truth. If they've got a nice smile and they're an outgoing and friendly person, it's so much better instead of saying, "Hey, listen, can you come be part of our greeting team? And, you know, when people come in, just say welcome to church, maybe shake their hands." How much better is it to say, "Listen, you've got such a nice smile and such a great personality. I'd love for you to be a part of the team that stands at the door so people can see you and see that friendly, warm demeanor that you have. Because when you smile at people, it makes them feel welcome. And I think you would be such an asset to be a part of our hospitality team." That's so much more inviting than to just ask somebody to fill a task. Our parking lot team, these guys are outgoing and they're friendly and they're waving. And I've heard one of the leaders say, "Hey, listen, we're the first thing people see when they pull into our church. We're the first people they see. So we want to go out of our way to make them feel welcome. We want the first person they see to be smiling and waving at them so that they already start to have a good feeling about being in church on that Sunday." So remember, we're not just sharing the vision. We're not just sharing the task. We're sharing the vision. You actually want to evoke some type of emotion. You know, when you talk about serving in kids, I mean, my gosh, that is one of the hardest things in any church to get people to volunteer for. But we've got an incredible team because our kids leaders cast the vision and say, listen, we're not just babysitting. We're not just keeping the kids so mom and dad can enjoy the service. We're actually creating the next generation, not just of Christians, not just of disciples, but this is also the next generation of leaders in our church. And they're not just saying that, they're following through with it. They're teaching the Bible to the children in a fun way. They're enjoying it. They're having a great time. I can't tell you how many times we've had families visit our church, and later the parents would say, you know, I didn't really like it that much. The music was loud, or didn't like this, didn't like that. But the kids loved it. And so mom and dad come back. Well, I mean, if your kids say, mom and dad, I want to go to church, you're going to go to church. So, you know, let's share the vision and not just the task. All right, well, don't go away. We will be right back. I just wanted to let you know that this episode of Leading and Learning is brought to you by my book, Peter and Paul in Acts. Peter and Paul were the two most eminent apostles, the two most eminent leaders in the first century church. We're talking about leadership here. And these two guys were an amazing asset to the early church. Peter took the gospel to the Jewish Christians, especially in Judea, but he also traveled a bit as well. The Apostle Paul wrote about a quarter of the New Testament, planted upwards of 20 churches, give or take, really took the gospel all around the Roman world. But when you look at the Apostle Paul, he was a man who created teams. He raised up other leaders. He realized he couldn't do it himself. So Peter and Paul in Acts is really a handbook, a study of the Acts of the Apostles, but we focus on Peter and Paul and how they did what they did. So grab a copy, click on that link. You can go to Amazon, read, you know, the first chapter or so for free. But by all means, grab this book. It needs to be on your shelf. It will give you so much great background on not just the Acts of the Apostles, but because Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke as well, also included an introduction to the Gospel of Luke. And I think you'll find it fascinating to see how similarly written the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles are. So check out Peter and Paul in Acts. I know you will love it. All right, well, jumping back in, we're trying to figure out how do we get people on our team. Last week, we identified people, you know, we're that talent scout. We saw somebody that might be a real asset on our team, somebody who might want to be a volunteer and serve with us. But now, how do we get them on our team? Well, the next thing we want to do, this is actually number four, is we want to communicate our expectations very clearly and very candidly. Is this position every Sunday? Is this forever? Are you asking them to serve once a month or twice a month? If you have multiple services on a Sunday, are you asking them to serve multiple services? You know, we do it. Every team does it a little differently. We normally have two services on a Sunday. So, for kids workers, they may come in and serve one service and then sit in church for one service. Or for my team, one of the teams that I lead, we ask our guys or girls to come in and serve both services, but just once a month. So it's whatever works for you, but communicate that clearly up front. Are you asking them for a year commitment? Are you asking them for an eternal commitment? Or are you going to leave it open-ended depending on, you know, how well they seem to enjoy what they're doing and making sure it's a good fit? I would really encourage you to have that conversation with them, share it verbally, but also follow up with a text or email. What do you want them to know? I've got an introductory email that after I've talked to somebody about one of the teams that I lead, I'll send them that email that reconfirms all the information that we spoke about and actually gives them a little bit more information. And then the next time I see them, I'll follow up with them. Hey, did you get that email? Any questions? And communication is so, so very important. People feel important. People feel that you care. You know, you're not bothering people when you send them an email that they've asked for. And you know, when you say, hey, listen, can I send you this with all the information on it? So we're not bothering them. We're actually letting them know that we're professional enough to communicate clearly and answer all their questions. So communicate your expectations clearly and candidly. And then, and this is a really big one, number five, ask for a commitment. Close the deal. Hey, how about just, you know, thinking about maybe down the road serving on the kids team. Or hey, listen, maybe, you know, you might like to help out in the cafe. You know, think about it and get back to me. Well, they're never going to get back to you. It doesn't work that way. If somebody does that to me, I'm never going to get back to them. I got other things in my life. So what I encourage you to do is, if they're interested, ask for a commitment. You know, if they say, well, you know, can I think about it? Great. Let them think about it and check with them in about a week. Ask for a commitment. Close the deal. If they say no, they say no. But ask for a commitment. Close the deal. And, you know, then once you've asked for it, say, listen, okay, here's what I'd love for you to do now is, what dates are you available to start serving? Get your calendar out. Find out where you're going to plug them in. We've actually got a system in place in our church for this. But, you know, if you're starting out, figure out what works for you. But get it down, right? You know, type the dates they give you into your phone so you don't forget. And then send them an email or a text to confirm it. Okay, so listen, just confirming, you're going to serve for the first time in 2 weeks on such and such a date. And put that back out to them so there's no misunderstanding. And then following up with that, number six, don't recruit them and leave them. Don't say, hey, great, awesome, I'll see you in 2 weeks. No, there's more to it than that. Especially if it's any kind of position that requires training. If you're working with kids, what's the curriculum? Give them plenty of time to go through it. You know, my suggestion is don't throw them into a room of, you know, four-year-olds on their own. Have them assist somebody. Have them assist somebody for a few times. Make sure that works. Make sure they're good with kids. Give them some training. We actually have specific training for different teams in our church. And some of it's done online. I'll send out some outlines. I'll send out some articles, some simple things. You know, and then that first Sunday that they show up to serve, we will assign them to somebody else. Hey, listen, this is their first Sunday. They're serving with us today. We're so excited. So, Joe, you're going to go with Bob. He's been on the team for a while. He's one of my team leaders, and he's going to kind of show you what we do. And if you have a job description, even better. We send that out as well. You know, what I find is when you have a job description for the particular job, and we have them for a lot of the voluntary positions in our church, it elevates the importance of that position. When you send a job description on somebody working in the cafe, how to make different types of coffees, how to handle, you know, different situations, whatever it is that they're doing, it doesn't have to be a long thing, maybe just a page or two. Most of our job descriptions are just a couple of three pages, but it elevates that job and it makes it seem, and it makes it really, it really is even more important because now we're taking it very, very seriously. So don't just recruit people and leave them. Train them, assign them to another team member. You stay connected with them via email, text, phone calls, whatever. Many of our teams have text group chats where they can stay in touch with each other through the week and encourage each other and pray for each other. That's a big deal because what we're doing is we're creating community. These people are serving, but what we want to see is we want them to develop friendships with the people they're serving with. These are going to become some of their best friends if they're, you know, if it's the right fit and the right team for them. They're going to be serving with people that they really become good friends with. So it's really important to help them get connected. And then the last one, number seven, is we want to let our people know that we trust them. Once they get on the team and they're serving and they're starting to figure things out, we let them know that we trust them. We're not micromanaging them. We let them flourish. We start as they start really excelling in whatever it is, we start giving them more responsibility. If they go into that classroom and they're handling those kids like a boss and they're doing a great job, and really within just a few weeks, we should say, "Hey, listen, you're doing such a great job. We're going to, let you have your own classroom, and we'll assign somebody to help you. But, we really believe in you." And, give them that responsibility. Down the road, if they're serving and serving well, it might be, down the road 6 months, a year, it might be time to elevate them to team lead. Give them more responsibility. Whatever it looks like for you and your setting, you want to entrust your people, not just with responsibility, you want to entrust them with the vision. That might mean, some mornings when your team's getting ready to do their thing, we always have a short huddle. Each of our teams does. We have a big huddle, and then we have a small huddle with each team. And, have your team members pray. Have your team members maybe share a very short devotional for the day or a short thought to motivate the others. Whatever it is, give them opportunities to serve beyond just the task. Quick recap. How do I get these people that I've identified on my team? Well, starts by remembering their names and start a relationship. Number two, you're focusing on discipleship and not just filling slots. You're taking people on a journey in faith, not just for doing tasks, but really in their hearts and lives as well. Number three, we're sharing the vision, not just the task. Number four, we're communicating expectations clearly. It's always better to over-communicate than under-communicate. Ask for a commitment, number five. Ask for a commitment. Seal the deal. If they say no, they say no. But don't be afraid to ask. Number six, don't recruit them and leave them. Give them some training. Nail down their dates. Nail down what they're supposed to do. If you've got a job description, make sure they get a copy of it. Go over it with them. Assign them to another team member to help train them. It's such a reassuring thing. When somebody comes in to serve for the first time, we see it all the time. They come in, they're happy, they're thrilled to be serving, but there's that sense of nervousness. Am I going to do a good job? Am I going to have to do something I don't understand? And you see that, and I get it. We've all been there. So that's why when another team member comes along and, just says, "Hey, listen, you follow me, you watch me, we'll talk. I'll have you do some stuff, I'll do some stuff, but I want you to learn. So just, relax, follow me, and I'm going to help you get it right." Such a reassuring thing. Makes people feel so good. And then the last thing is let your people know you trust them, and, let them know that you really believe in them, and take every opportunity you get to pray for them. Really be that pastor, be that leader. You say, "Well, I'm not a pastor. I just lead the service team, or I just lead the parking lot team." Well, you pastor your team. They're looking to you for leadership, so pastor them, pray for them, look after them. They will appreciate it. Well, I'm going to stop there, and I would love to hear from you. As I said, we have a system in place, but we're always looking to help other people. If there's anything I can do to help you, by all means, let me know, contact me. But let me know, how do you do things? Do you have a method of incorporating leaders and volunteers and leaders into your church? How do you raise them up? How do you train them? I'd love to hear from you. Go to davidspell.com, leave me a question or a comment in the comment section for today's post. While you're there, make sure you sign up to get my free newsletter so that we can stay in touch. Well, friends, thanks so much for being with me, and I really would love to hear how you're building a team that's helping you build your church. We'll see you next week on Leading and Learning.